This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Oh, welcome to GTC on a Saturday morning of the U.S. Open. Sacchino in studio, Weeksy on location at Erin Hills. As we've got 36 holes to go, we've got a Canadian in the hunt. We've got a four-way top on top of the leaderboard with some unproven players in major championship golf. And we've got a very weird, bizarre week that's transpired in Wisconsin and a strange 36 left with the top three players in the world all going home. Bob, good morning. And how are you feeling so far? What's it? Just give me your initial thoughts right out of the gates. I've been watching this from start to finish. I've been following you on Twitter and just kind of keeping my eye on a little bit of all the coverage from all different angles. I am still, the jury's still out on me, Bob, on Erin Hills and this U.S. Open. I'm not sure yet. Is this more Chambers Bay, or is this more where we need to be? I don't know. Initial thoughts, and good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Mark. Yeah, I think it's a little more Whistling Straits than it is Chambers Bay, and I'm leaning more and more towards liking it than not liking it. It's unfortunate that it played soft the first day. It's probably going to play soft today. And it's that doesn't help it a little at all, I don't think, because we had so many low numbers in there. But it's a big golf course. It's as I'm sure everyone's been telling you, and it's really in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we're really in rural farmland, Milwaukee here, or outside of Milwaukee, and so for that reason, it's a sort of a strange setting, and because it's such a big area, the crowds are very dispersed as well. So it doesn't really have that U.S. Open feel yet in terms of cheers and walking through and seeing stuff, but we'll see what happens over the weekend before we make a final judgment.
Yeah, and that's my position, too. I'm going to wait and see what transpires on Sunday. Right now, four-way tie for the lead. Paul Casey, Brian Harman, Tommy Fleetwood, and Brooks Koepka. And we're going to get into the leaderboard. We're going to hear from all the leaders. You went one-on-one with Adam Hadwin. We'll hear from Adam Hadwin. We'll hear from Dustin Johnson and Jason Day on not making the weekend as well. There's lots of stories here, lots to talk about. Before we get to news and headlines, I'm just curious. Do you think the USGA has had the golf course that they anticipated yet? In other words, if this was playing as dry and as firm as it could play, which we haven't seen yet, you think the scores would be a lot different? Or is this just room off the tee, Bob, that is allowing these guys to, you know, tie a record that was 1980 after round one with Weisskopf and Nicklaus at 7 under par?
I think they would have liked it, obviously, a little bit firmer and faster, let these balls run out and maybe bring the rough a little bit more into play. But we've had lots of guys in the hay and lots of guys going home as a result of it. I don't know if they've got the course prepped exactly the way they would have liked to have had it in terms of firmness. But I do think they've done a pretty good job at setting it up so far through the first 2 days. I'm not sure what we'll see today, but They have a lot of tees, a lot of ways to make this course longer and shorter, and I think judging by wind and by ground conditions, it hasn't been too bad so far.
All right, Bob, let's get into it. Let's jump into this leaderboard and let's start with some news and headlines.
News and headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
As previously mentioned, four-way tie at the top. Paul Casey was a very popular pick. Bob and I have been picking Paul Casey for about a year and a half, waiting for him to win something. And here he is again, especially in a major championship. Open with 66 and falls it with 71. Brian Harman, the left-hander, who's a multiple winner on the PGA Tour. Tommy Fleetwood, who has won multiple times on the European Tour. Brooks Koepka, one European Tour win, one U.S. PGA Tour win. And obviously, we all know the story with Brooks Koepka and how he took a different alternate route through the official World Golf Rankings, making his way to this side of the world. Then Jamie Lovemark, and of course, course, Ricky Fowler, that name looming one back along with J.B. Holmes and Fowler. Maybe the guy, Bob, on top of that backhanded compliment list of best in the world without a major. Right now, at least out of the top four guys, honestly, or the guys with the seven under, anybody there carrying more pressure as we head into the weekend? Paul Casey, 40 years old. Does that change things for him with 36 to go?
Probably more than the other guys, and I think he's been around this position a little bit more frequently than the other guys have. Is all I don't even know if the other guys you could really consider that they've been around. Brooks has been sniffing around a few leaderboards before in majors, but I think Casey's the guy. I don't know if he called pressure, but I think he's got the most eyes on him. I think he's got the most attention on him. And as he said yesterday after the round, you know, he had that eight, the triple bogey on the par five. He said it's not very often you can come off a golf course with an eight in your card and still be smiling, but. But he is, and I like the way he's played so far. But I don't think he's feeling any pressure. I think he's relaxed. It seems to be anyway. The other guys are kind of in uncharted territories, so we'll see what they can pull up. But they might not be around. Let's put it this way: I think Casey will be around. It's more likely that he'll be around for Saturday or Sunday than the other three guys. Excuse me.
Am I crazy, Bob, to think that Sergio Garcia at 3 under, 4 back, is just playing with house money and is freewheeling it? Like, the monkey is off the back. And is that just, you know, when a guy has nothing to lose, he's a scary guy to maybe play against. Is that the guy that could vault up this leaderboard today?
I think there's a few guys back there that could do it. And you know, we can get into that later in the show. But I think you're right. There's guys back there who are just, you know, I'm just going to hit fairways and go for greens as best as you can out here with these distances. And I think there's going to be a lot of movement on this leaderboard today.
All right, since the World Golf Ranking started in 1986, this is the first time ever we've had a major where the top three players in the world are all going home after 36 holes. Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day. Out of those three, the biggest surprise for me is Jason Day. I thought he was trending in the right direction. I thought this golf course would look a lot off the tee like Whistling Straits, where he won his PGA Championship. And Rory, you know, he's been hurt. He hasn't been able to put in the practice or the time. Dustin Johnson has things going off the golf course, welcoming his second child earlier this week. And again, has not been on the grounds and doing the prep as much as you would normally do for a major. And again, I think his mind was probably elsewhere. It's still shocking to me that they're all going home, but does one stand out more for you than the other?
I took it as a collective of the three of them all together missing it is just stunning to me, and more so the fact that this golf course sets up perfectly for them. They're all three bombers. They all love to hit the ball a long way, and they can shape it off the tee. And to see the number of times these guys were in the hay was just stunning. But I mean, I guess maybe Dustin Johnson, but I think maybe the way you were saying it, I'll agree with you in Jason Day. His last two starts were a second and a tie for 15th, so he was playing some good golf coming in here.
Now we're going to hear from Adam Hadwin coming up in the next segment, as you went one-on-one with Hadwin, who's 2 under par, only 5 back, and playing very well right now and seems comfortable and confident out there as well. But there's another Canadian on the LPGA Tour, Brooke Henderson, Bob, finally sitting on top of the leaderboard through 36 holes with a chance to win. She's 63, opened with, followed with a 67. Before I get your thoughts on Brooke at the LPGA event this week, let's hear from Brooke Henderson.
Yeah, just keep doing what I'm doing. You know, it's a packed leaderboard. There's a lot of people, you know, really close. And hopefully over the next 2 days I can kind of repeat the two scores that I've done so far, because the scores you need to make birdies, and you need to, you know, be aggressive and take chances where you can.
Now, I know, Bob, I'm like you. When I'm out at a golf tournament like that, you get swallowed up and entrenched by what you're covering, and sometimes you have no concept of what's happening in the world outside of the U.S. Open. So you probably have not had much chance to follow Brooke or take a look at this, but I'll just ask you quickly, are you surprised? Because we've been obviously waiting for her to snap out of what has been kind of a lull for this season. But usually when a player does this, they start to trend in a certain direction. And I haven't seen the trend from Brooke. All of a sudden, it's a 63 and a 67, and here she is.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. You do get into that envelope when you're out here covering. And I did sort of sneak a look at her rounds and stuff through the day. She finished with 2 bogeys yesterday, which is unfortunate because she would have had an even bigger lead. But she's been talking about how her putter has just been letting her down all year, and if you look at the stats, finally she got a pretty decent round in terms of putting, and I think that's been the difference this one. 28 28 putts yesterday, which was superb for her because she was, I think, well over 30 all the rounds at Whistle Bear last week. So it's nice to see. You know, you always hear players saying, "Oh, I'm close," but you never really know if they're really that close or they're just trying to convince themselves that they're not going the other direction. Brooke kept talking about that last week, so maybe this is the breakout week that we've been looking from her for a while.
36 to go, and she's got a 2-shot lead. Now, I don't know if you saw this. Before we go to break, our final little bit here, news and headlines. This is classic. Steve Elkington, this is a tweet after Rory missing the cut. This is a beauty. Steve Elkington, who is never shy to share an opinion, as you know. Rory is so bored playing golf. Without Tiger, the threshold is... for Rory is 4 majors with $100 million in the bank. So he starts basically calling Rory out on Twitter. Rory sees this immediately and tweets out his record from Wikipedia, which is win in the U.S. Open, win in the British Open, 2 PGAs, a 4th in the Masters, all these accolades, Player of the Year, Vardon Trophy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Rory says to Elkington, "More like $200 million. Not bad for a bored 28-year-old, and plenty more where that came from." Takes the big shot back. I love the Twitter war between the two of them.
I saw that last night, and it went on for a little while. And some of the reactions from some of the other players, it was a complete decision win for Rory McIlroy in that Twitter battle. It was really something. If you haven't checked it out, you should go and have a look at it because they spat it back and forth a couple of times last night, and I just thought it was brilliant. Brilliant for Rory.
Absolutely classic. And I love the fact that he owned this, Bob. He was vocal on Wednesday and Tuesday saying, if you can't hit it in the fairways at Erin Hills, you got 80-yard targets and 60-yard targets, you shouldn't be here. And he owned it. He said, hey, I didn't hit it well off the tee. I played from the wrong positions all week. It's not the golf course, it's me. So good on Rory. On the other side, we're going to hear from Bob Weeks. He went one-on-one with Adam Hadwin, who's only 5 off the lead with 36 to go at the U.S. Open. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Zacchino in studio in Toronto, Weeks at Erin Hills, Wisconsin on location. Bob, I just got an email from Jeff McDonald, our program director here at 1050 in Toronto in the T-Dot. Interesting note on Brooks Koepka. You know, this is the longest U.S. Open setup in history, and Koepka has not had more than a 7-iron as an approach shot into a par 4 yet. I find that absolutely incredible through 36 holes. That's crazy. But he also let me in on the fact that you caused a little issues last night in the Drive Home show here in Toronto in overdrive with Brian Hayes, and the O-Dog suggests they're calling you Fredo as the backstabber here. That you're with the O-Dog. Hayes can't break 160 at this setup.
Well, I figure that you and I played with Brian Hayes a couple, I guess, last year.
With Jeff.
And I think, exactly. And I figure I'm about, Hayes and I are probably about the same in terms of golf ability and golf skill. Now, there's the first hole here. I was taking into account every penalty shot and holing out every putt. The first hole here, you got to hit it 270 just to clear the rough. So we might just stand on the first tee and hit balls into the rough all day and never find them and never be able to get out. So, you know, it was a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but I'll tell you, it would be interesting to see what a guy like a 10, 15 handicap would shoot around here, because it is, if you took them to the back, they can play 8,300 yards, and there are some carries here that, you know, you just may never, you never may get out there. You'd have to bring a pro shop full of golf balls to finish this round here.
Yeah, you know what's so funny, too, before we hear from Adam Hadwin and you one-on-one, I just obviously for, you know, the mere mortals on the planet, like what we're talking about here, those things stand out. But isn't it funny how that little ninth hole yesterday caused so much havoc, and in fact it caused Justin Rose missing the cut. Was it playing 153 downhill yesterday, and he was one over par when he got to that tee. It was his 18th hole of the day. He hits it into the bunker, makes a bogey, and goes home. So
It's crazy. I think at one point that was playing as the most difficult hole on the golf course. 153 yards. Crazy.
Unbelievable. All right, Bob. Adam Hadwin is only five back. I know this doesn't surprise you. It certainly doesn't surprise me. You and I have always said he's not afraid of the moment, and he's also worked so hard on his putting and become such a great putter that will keep you in any championship. He's hitting 68% of his fairways through two rounds. He's hitting 72% of his greens through two rounds. He's going to have to hit a few more fairways, I think, to keep this ball moving in the right direction. If it wasn't for a little bit of stick handling yesterday on 17, you know, he'd be sitting at four under par right now. He had a bit of an issue around the greens yesterday on his second last hole there at the par four 17th. Let's hear from Adam Hadwin and Bob Weeks.
Adam Hadwin, two rounds in the books and a little bit of a different golf course out there today. Tell us about your round.
Yeah, obviously, I think we all expected it to get a little bit tougher. I don't think, we spoke to it earlier, I don't think the USGA likes to see his birdies as much as the fans do. So we knew it was going to be tougher. There were certainly some precarious pin positions out there, kind of sitting on some ledges. But, you know, I wasn't hitting it very well at the start, kind of putted fantastically to keep myself in it. And then started hitting pretty good on the back nine. Didn't hit as close and just wasn't able to make those mid-range 15, 20 footers today. So other than a little whoopsie on 17 there, it was a pretty decent day.
When you're playing a golf course that is this long and demands so much power off the tee, you can't play safe though, can you?
No, you really got to just kind of wing it basically. You got to pick targets and swing it as best you can. Start playing safe, you start missing greens, spinning off ridges all over. So I mentioned yesterday you kind of have to make aggressive swings to conservative targets, and trying to do that all day. And like I said, it was a pretty decent day, just kind of one bad hole.
Tell us about the bad hole and how exactly you got into trouble.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I missed a fairway, which obviously is a no-go out here, but I had a decent lie to get up near the green, missed it right, and then I just did the silly thing of basically having to repeat the same shot again. I didn't get it up the hill onto the green. So, you know, it's just one of those shots where you got to kind of take your medicine and get it 10, 15 feet past the hole and have a chance for par. And unfortunately, I didn't do that and walked away with a double.
Despite that, do you feel comfortable with where you are right now? Do you feel comfortable with the way you're playing?
Yeah, I really do. You know, like I said, I didn't hit it great for the first nine, but, you know, found a little rhythm, started hitting some good shots. The putts just didn't fall. So I'm certainly not out of it going into this weekend. So the course is only going to get firmer. It's only going to get faster and more difficult. So I like my chances.
Do you like it firmer and faster?
I think so. I mean, I think the harder it plays, you got to be a little bit more strategic. You got to be able to hit shots to certain areas. And I feel like I'm hitting it so well right now that I can do that. So like I said, we got two more days to see what happens and keep going grinding it out.
All right. Good luck on the weekend.
Thanks, Bob.
Bob, I got some great news for you as well. I know you're going to love this. You probably know this already, but you'll more than likely go out there, if I know you, and follow Adam Hadwin today. That will be the guy that you walk with. And because you're walking with our Canadian in the hunt, you also get to follow Andrew Beef Johnson in the 12-17 pairing with Adam Hadwin. I must have put a smile on your face.
That's great. I tell you, it never dies down here for Beef. Every step around the way, we were out walking a little bit yesterday. We followed him over a couple of holes there, and the crowd just loves him. They just absolutely eat this guy up, and he loves them back. You can just see the smile on his face. And I think you have to kind of give him credit, because, you know, he's sort of a cult figure, I guess, if that's the right word, or a fun figure. But he's actually a really good golfer, and he's playing some good golf out there.
Yeah, he's right there with Hadwin at 200. Thoughts on Hadwin with 36 to go? I think, you know, obviously the 17 was a bit of a drop ball. That's going to happen, though, in a U.S. Open. The more this becomes about putting on the edge, does that help Hadwin?
Yeah. I mean, his putter is kind of back where it was at the start of the year. I think he feels comfortable with it. He's just got to keep it out of the hay. But, I mean, I can tell you that for every player who's left in the field. But for him, you know, he doesn't carry it that far. He's not able to hit these greens with seven irons like Brooks Koepka or J.B. Holmes. So he's got to rely on the putter. He's got to rely on his short game, which is what he did in round one when he made that little birdie flurry. But I think he can climb back up this leaderboard today if he can just keep it down the middle of the fairway. That's the only thing he's got to do. And I honestly think that he'll be within a couple of shots, maybe three or four shots of the lead by the time today is done.
All right, Bob, on the other side, we're going to hear from the leaders themselves, the four of them tied for the lead. But like previously mentioned off the top, the big news right now through 36 holes is the names that are going home, starting with world number one, Dustin Johnson, obviously going home to a brand new baby and to a very exciting week in their life. But 75, 73 on a golf course that, you know, really looks like it was almost built for Dustin Johnson. A bit of a shock. Let's hear from world number one after missing the cut at Erin Hills.
I hit the ball better than I did yesterday, that's for sure. Drove it very well, you know, hit a lot of good iron shots, just didn't make any putts. I mean, you know, birdied the first two holes, but those were tap ins. You know, and I missed another one on four from about 3 feet. So, I didn't feel like I was hitting bad putts. It just, I don't know, misreading them. I don't know what was going on. Yeah, I mean, I felt like, you know, it's a golf course. I really like this golf course. It sets up very well for me, especially if I'm driving it like I did today. I couldn't have shot any higher. I mean, it's not possible to shoot any higher than I did. Just, you know, struggled on the greens, and it wasn't simple.
Dustin Johnson talking about the struggle on the greens. He just sounds absolutely shocked at his own performance. He goes home at 4 over. Rory McIlroy going home at 5 over. John Rahm going home at 5 over. Huge names and big surprises not being able to play the weekend here at the U.S. Open. And, of course, Jason Day with just an absolutely horrible outing, Bob, at 10 over par. He opened with 79. He followed it up with 75. Let's hear from world number three, Jason Day.
I was in the hay too much over the last couple of days. And, you know, actually, the stats yesterday, I think I hit like 12 greens. But I had made 2 triples in amongst that. Short game, I made 0 to 6 up and downs. It's pretty frustrating when I got here Friday, put a lot of work in. I mean, not a lot, but I tried to pace myself, but did the work. Took a bunch of photos of the golf course, making sure that I could actually play and visualize the golf course at night, and actually I felt the most calm I have in a major in a long time this week, and you know, just unfortunately just didn't pan out.
Jason Day, it certainly didn't at 10 over par. All right, Bob, on the other side, we're going to hear from all four leaders. We'll talk a little bit about the chasers. There was some history out there. Adam Hadwin this week tying the U.S. Open record for birdies in a row. Hideki Matsuyama came one putt shy of shooting a 29 yesterday. He's got himself in the mix. There are some stories on this leaderboard. We'll get into them next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada's Zucchino Studio. Weeks at the U.S. Open, Erin Hills, 36 to go. Bob, what's the forecast look like for today before we get into our leaders and hear from them and talk about some chasers? Original forecast was for lots of moisture potentially on Saturday and then winds on Sunday. What's it looking like right now? What do we anticipate today?
We had some rain overnight. pretty good dousing, so the course is going to be a little softer, I think, today. And there is more rain in the forecast. Thunder showers, actually, at around 3 o'clock. You know, you don't mind the rain because they'll play through it. But the thunderstorms are the ones where they're going to get everybody off and err on the side of caution, obviously. So I think if we can get through today, we'll be okay. But it'll be interesting to see if they manage to get out without a delay at this tournament.
So there is potential for a little catch-up tomorrow. And if that is the case, what does tomorrow look like? Does it still look good? Because the original forecast was sunny, and the wind really picking up for the first time all week on Sunday was the original call as well.
That's it, yep. Sunny, but with some breezes, and they were saying gusts up to about 30 miles an hour. I didn't do my metric conversion on that, but that's strong. And so that can play a factor here. And I'll tell you, you don't need much wind out in this golf course to have it really play an effect, because we had some breezes through the middle of the day yesterday, and I wouldn't call them strong by any means, but you could see the players battling to try and figure out exactly where their line was and how to make sure you ride the wind properly.
I would love to see the fans get turned on Sunday. I just would love to see this property and its teeth if that happens, like you're suggesting. The other thing I like about it is if it stays as bunched as it is right now, let's just, for sake of argument, assume that the leaderboard looks similar similar Sunday as it does right now. If those fans come up in the afternoon tomorrow on a Sunday, that gives a potential opportunity for somebody to go out there who is 4, 5, 6 shots back and maybe put a round under up on the board before the leaders get to that back nine. Someone could backdoor U.S. Open. Maybe that's someone's that Adam Hadwin.
Very easily, I think, around this place. It's we've seen already the potential for, you know, rounds in the 80s and rounds in with multiple birdies like Adam Hadwin did with what Hideki Matsuyama did, with what Chez Reavie did. And that's what's striking about this golf course is the variance in the scores you can get on the same course on the same day, in some cases only a couple of groups apart. It's really, really weird that way.
All right, four at the top, Bob. Brooks Koepka, let's start with him. He's won on the European Tour. He's won on the U.S. Tour. You know, obviously made quite a name for himself. And in a short period of time on this side of the pond, we all know how big he hits it. He's been doing a lot of work in the gym, working out a little bit with Dustin Johnson as well, apparently. Thoughts on Brooks Koepka before we hear from him with 36 holes to go?
Well, not a huge surprise that he's up there. He's had a good year so far, but he is a big, strong guy. He is a long hitter. He's the prototype that you thought would play well at this golf course. He's in a little different air right now, obviously. He hasn't been in this position this late into a major, so, you know, he's learning on the go. But he doesn't see – not only does he work out with Dustin Johnson, he has that same kind of chill mentality where nothing really seems to bother him, good or bad. So that might serve him well as we get into the heat of the battle here in the next 2 days.
Yeah, you would certainly think so. He's in the penultimate group at 218 alongside Tommy Fleetwood. He goes 67-70. Let's hear from Brooks Koepka.
Felt all right. I felt like the back nine, my front nine, I felt like I played really solid. I putted it really well, and then I just made two bad swings on the front nine. I fatted a 3-iron into the hazard on one, and then, you know, pull hook to 4-iron on the par three. So, I mean, if you're going to do that, you're going to deserve a bogey out here. And, you know, I felt like I made a couple good putts there coming in on 8 and 9, and it just didn't happen to go in. So, you know, I'll take it. I'm pretty pleased.
Front spot going into the weekend, obviously.
Yeah, it'll be good. You know, I'm playing really well. I feel pretty confident, and, you know, I'm excited, driving the ball really well.
And driving it, so important here. His length may be a factor, should help him. And you're right, Bob, he does have that laid-back attitude. However, if experience is a factor, Paul Casey has to be the favorite if you're looking at just these four. Certainly the veteran of this group, been out there quite a long time. He's 40 years old and has had some of his played some of his greatest golf in the last year and a half. Now, hasn't had that big win we're waiting for, but has played so consistent. He had a good showing in the playoffs last year. And you and I have both been waiting for him to kind of break through with his next big win. He went 66-71. He's in the final group alongside Brian Harman. Let's hear from the veteran, Paul Casey.
Not every day you enjoy a round of golf with an 8 on the card, but I'm a pretty happy man. So, it was a bit of a roller coaster. If you can get through, I guess it's rare you get through a US Open or any major without some kind of hiccup. It was a good display, all my own fault, but a good display what can happen if you get out of position on this golf course, which is what I did on 14. You know, even just trying to take my medicine was very, very difficult. It's a good eight in the end.
You gotta love that. Casey will be in the final group today alongside Brian Harman. Bob, is Brian Harman the clear-cut, quote-unquote, underdog in the last few groups on this leaderboard right now?
I don't know. You know, he's won a couple of times. He's actually won more on the PGA Tour than Paul Casey has, even though he has played as well or his performance. You know, these top four guys only have 4 PGA Tour wins between them, but Harman is certainly the underrated guy out there. I think he's the least known of the four of you. Well, I guess maybe Tommy Fleetwood if you follow European golf, but I like the way he plays, and he's a very consistent golfer out there, and he's a left-hander, Mark, so we have to love him.
Yes, we don't have to pull for him. Brian Harman, the left-hander, 67-70, again, alongside Paul Casey in the final group. Let's hear from Brian Harman.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, this is where you hope to be. Obviously, I was pretty nervous this morning, and I got off to a little bit of a shaky start, but I hung in there. I was proud of the way I hung in there, and finished off pretty well. Yeah, yeah, lots of times. Anytime you're up there towards the top, you know, you want to keep playing well, but you're always wondering, you know, am I going to play well? But that's sort of part of the emotions. That's part of why 4 days of golf is very tough, because everyone kind of goes through the same sort of emotions throughout the week.
And the final man atop this leaderboard, tied for the lead, as you just heard from Mr. Bob Weeks, is Tommy Fleetwood, the Englishman. Two wins on the European Tour, Bob. The Europeans are very high on Tommy Fleetwood. They're not surprised to see him here. 67-70. Let's hear from Tommy Fleetwood.
You can sort of switch off for a few hours. Might be a different story tomorrow, but at the same time, I mean, it's going to be great. Like you say, I've never done this before. I've never led a US Open, so tomorrow will be a very cool experience. It's still only Saturday. 36 holes is a very long time in a US Open. Anything can happen, and there's always ups and downs out there. So, but no, I think with how long the course is and how long the days are, I'll make the most of being able to relax for a little bit and not worry.
Those are the men at 7-under as we head into the weekend. On the other side, we're going to get into chasers. Bob, I want to know, who do you like from the pack today? There are some names, Hideki, Garcia, etc. We're also going to update you on our fantasy draft. I am the Masters Jedi, but who is the Mike Davis Master? And I have some pathetic, really sad news for our listeners, Bob, for our Golf Talk Canada fans, because there's nobody left in this pool. We'll get into that next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC as we get you set for the final 36. U.S. Open. Of course, TSN is your home for all major championship golf, including the U.S. Open. So you do not have to go anywhere to get your U.S. Open fix for the next 36. Bob Weeks in Wisconsin, Zucchino in studio. Bob, I have some horrible news for you on our fantasy draft last week. There will be
I'm waiting for this.
There will be no Mike Davis Master. We're, we did the Masters Jedi fantasy draft, which we all did quite well in, by the way. And then yes, we decided to change it up a little bit, maybe make it a little more challenging for the U.S. Open, where we couldn't just draft whoever we felt like. We had to stay within categories of an American, a European, an international, a past champion, and then a wild card. But part of the rules in our draft is you need four players to make the cut out of your five to have a team count. And I can tell you that we all pathetically had at least two or more guys miss the cut on every team. Nobody is even close. All four of us, you and myself, Scully and Jamie Rydell, we all stunk the joint out, my friend. No one is left for the weekend.
Well, I could tell you that there are a lot of pools that got busted this weekend, and I am in one, another one with some friends, and we all had to pick five players, just four off the board anywhere, and a first-timer. And nobody has more than two players left on their team going in. And that's like about 30 guys. So
that's,
I think,
great.
What you saw with the carnage of the guys who lost and missed the cut, a lot of players there, a lot of people are feeling just like us.
Well, Bob, let's take a look at some of the chasers, because we haven't really focused much on the chasers. And the big name for me, obviously jumping out, is Ricky Fowler at one back. JB Holmes and Jamie Lovemark also at one back. When we're looking at chasers here, there's some names that could do some damage. Brant Snedeker at 500 par. Hideki Matsuyama, who almost shot a 29 yesterday. Further down the board, Charlie Hoffman, who for some reason I think is going to have a good day. I don't know why. I think Hoffman's going to have a move. He's much longer than people give him credit for, and I think the distance here is going to help him, especially if it gets wet. Sergio Garcia playing with house money at 3-under alongside Keimer, who's won this event before back at Pinehurst a couple of years ago. And, of course, our Canadian Adam Hadwin at 2-under. Yeah, from the chasers category, what are you looking for?
The two of the names that you mentioned in there, Brant Snedeker to me is putting better than anybody out there, which is huge for him. He's coming off a long layoff. He had something called trigger finger, which is kind of like a carpal tunnel syndrome in his hand. So he played through the Masters and then basically has been kind of laying low since then. So he's refreshed. He was following his national predators all the way around, though, so that maybe have taken some out of him. but I like him really well. And I think another guy down there, Bill Haas, he's only missed one fairway so far this week. I love the way he's playing. I like the way he's calm and things. But that driver off the tee, if he keeps putting it in the fairway, you know, it gives himself chances, gives himself looks for birdies. I like him as well.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to, you know, obviously these greens are not easy, but with the moisture coming in last night and potential for more moisture today, which could take even more teeth out of the putting surfaces, if you're playing from the fairway all day, it's almost impossible to have a bad round of golf.
I agree with you, and I think, I don't want to say it's going to, an 8,000-yard golf course is going to come down to a putting contest, but it very, very may very well be that. You know, the one guy that has been putting a lot better, and I watched him on the range yesterday practicing, had to have practiced for like 2.5 hours of putting, was Hideki Matsuyama. And I think that's always been his Achilles heel. That's the one thing that's held him back. If he can get – he got a tip apparently from Yutaka Miyazato, who is the father of Ai Miyazato, the Japanese woman golfer, and her brother who was playing in this tournament. He got a tip yesterday from them, and that seems to have helped him on the putting, obviously, when he's, as you say, he almost shoot 29. So putting is going to be key on the weekend, and I mean, that's an easy thing to say, but on an 8,000-yard golf course, I really think whoever putts well is going to still come out on top here.
You know, you're right. It sounds funny, but it is true. On a golf course of this size and this magnitude, you think we would be looking more towards a ball striking event in a sense. But I think with the so much freedom off the tee, it's taken a lot of the shaping of the golf ball and ball striking almost out of the equation a bit, and has turned it a bit into a putting contest. Speaking of putting contests, like you mentioned with Bill Haas hitting those fairways, that is translated into 30 of 36 greens in regulation. So, you know, man, you hit in the fairway, you keep giving yourself looks, it's going to be hard to go anything but the right direction. Someone we haven't talked about today, Bob, and I just want to get your take. He made the cut, but he's not a factor right now in this golf tournament. But out of all the big names, the one of them that is staying is Jordan Spieth. He managed to scrape and claw his way to the weekend at even par. Are you surprised he's not a factor? You know, Jamie loved him in this tournament. He was my number one pick coming into this tournament. I picked him to win this championship. I thought that that he would out-putt the field, and I thought the freedom off the tee would allow him to be a part of this tournament. We know that's kind of been the Achilles heel for Jordan, is, you know, getting it in the fairway under pressure. Are you surprised to see him kind of not a factor and just kind of hanging around?
Well, you know, Mark, you always have been very prescient to point out the fact that he still has that miss to the right off the tee. And I think that's kind of what's let him down, is that he's just haven't put the ball in play enough off the tee, and he's not long enough where he can, you know, he can attack a lot of the greens like some of the J.B. Holmes and Brooks Koepkas of the world. He's just kind of been plodding along a little bit, and I think his putting is very good but not great. And so I think he's just off a little bit. He may be too far back with you know, where he is at even par to make a run at it this time. And, yes, I thought he would play a little bit better here. I think a lot of people did. I think we thought he had a really solid game and was coming in, you know, playing well, almost winning just a couple of weeks before that with that second place finish. So it's a little strange, but listen, when you look down the top of the world rankings, 8 of the top 12 guys have packed their bags and left Erin Hills, so nothing's unusual around here, it seems.
No, it certainly isn't. And man, you know, he was 1-under par through his first 8 holes of this championship, and then missed a 2-foot birdie effort on his 9th hole of the day back on Thursday. And I don't know, you're right about the sharpness with the putter, just kind of got in his way mentally, and it just, it's been a fight ever since. But he is there, Bob. He did make it to the weekend, and we'll see. But so many good players and big players to leapfrog. This is not going to be Jordan Spieth's week. All right, we're going to say goodbye to our national audience. We're going to come back with 30 more minutes, bonus minutes of Golf Talk Canada. For those of you listening in Hamilton on 1150, Toronto 1050, a few other select markets, of course, online at the iHeartRadio app. We'll do Winners, Weird, and What. We'll take a look at a couple other leaderboards, including the LPGA, where Brooke Henderson is sitting on top. We'll get Bob's final thoughts on the U.S. Open. We'll have some Scully time. Remember, 20 weeks of TaylorMade continues throughout the summer. We're giving away over $10,000 of TaylorMade product for anyone who just engages with us on social media. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. Like us on Facebook. Join our Facebook group, GTC TV and Radio. And of course, download our podcast from iTunes. Do all five items and have five chances to win each week as we give away over $10,000 in product. Of course, the grand prize, a VIP trip with your brand new set of TaylorMades to Canada's number one golf destination, Prince Edward Island. Also, Adidas, Show Us Your Stripes goes throughout the summer. Send us a pic of you decked out in your favorite stripes gear from Adidas, a chance to win a pair of Adidas shoes every month, and again, a wardrobe at the end of the year. Lots still to come from Golf Talk Canada, including 30 more minutes after this. Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet. Thank you so much for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC, the bonus 30. Oh, yes, all those lucky people, Bob, get to listen to us for 30 more minutes every Saturday morning. Dying for all that U.S. Open insight from two guys that couldn't put four guys to the weekend in their pool. So, all right, it's that time for Winners, Weird, and What. Three dub, Bob, you have the tee.
So what do I do, just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
Oh, did we lose Bob? Oh, I think we've lost Bob. I just threw him the tee as well. That's unbelievable. There we go. Okay, we'll get Weeksy back. He is in the middle of nowhere there, too. So, you know what? I'm going to take the Family Guy, and I'll jump in, and I'll do my winners, Weird and What, this week. My winner this week, Butch Harmon. So I don't know if anybody caught this, but Butch Harmon, obviously the swing coach for Ricky Fowler, they've done some great work over the years. And Ricky Fowler came out on the short end of that survey a few years ago with the players. There was a blind survey. Who is the most overrated player on the PGA Tour? And it came out Ricky Fowler and Ian Poulter. Well, that weekend he went out and won the Players' Championship, really silenced a lot of his critics. But Butch Harmon is still kind of weighing in on the fact, as his coach, that Ricky is still a lot of sizzle and not a lot of steak. He still has a whole hard time closing on the weekends. Oh, I've been told we have Bob back. Bob, I just jumped in and started doing my winners, Weird and What, because we didn't know if we were going to get you back. Are you there?
I'm sorry I missed it. Keep going.
It's all right. I'm going to keep going. My winner this week is Butch Harmon, and I was telling our audience as the history of Harmon and Fowler and the blind survey a few years back, etc., the most overrated. Well, and he went out that week and proved himself, won the Players' Championship. Well, here's the most recent quote from Butch Harmon. We had a big conversation at the end of last year, and he didn't like it. I said, you gotta decide if you're going to be a Kardashian or you're going to be a golf pro. You're the king of social media. You're all over these Snapchats, all over these things. You got to start winning tournaments. So I love this. This is Butch calling out his pupil Ricky, saying enough's enough. We got to start winning majors. We got to start getting out of there. So and getting some more out of your game. And I'm not knocking Ricky. It's his age. That's the way the world works today. The social media is important. He does a great job with it. But these are obviously generations colliding. But Butch is out there to win. He loves working with players and making them number one in the world. And he expects more from Ricky Fowler, I guess.
I think that's a perfect classification of Ricky. You know, for a guy who's won four times on the PGA Tour, and yes, he's won the Players' Championship, he has a higher profile than just about anyone else in that same category. So I agree with you. He's got tons of talent. It's time to start making it work.
All right, my weird this week, Bob, is this place is cursed. Erin Hills is cursed. Yesterday, unfortunately, a 94-year-old man passed away on property. We don't have any really more details than that. On Thursday, a blimp crashed on fire about a mile off the property, unrelated to the tournament, but caught on fire and crashed in a nearby farm field. One of the original people involved with the founding of this land and this golf course, Steve Trattner, ended up going to jail. He's living behind bars for killing his wife. And Bob Lang, who is the original owner of this property, of the golf course, he spent $26 million in an obsession to get this thing open and ended up flipping this property for $10 million, losing his children's inheritance, losing his family's fortune, a complete disaster. This property is cursed. It keeps happening. And this is my question to you. Is a curse going to land on somebody with the lead coming down the stretch Sunday?
Oh, boy, you hope not. Hey, you forgot to mention that, too, they have a water refreshment station here where people can fill up their water bottles.
That's right.
And they found E. coli in it.
That's right. Yesterday. That's right. So it keeps coming. Is it going to come in someone's putter?
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not.
And finally, my what, and this is something I've kind of harped on before, and we've talked about this, is that here we are at, let's call it, we're pretty close to an 8,000-yard golf course. And eventually, we're going to get there. Okay, and we had more players under par than in round one than any other U.S. Open in history. We tied the 1980 mark in relation to par, the leading score of 7-under that Weisskopf and Nicklaus did at Baltusrol in 1980. We tied that here at Erin Hills. We keep going bigger, bigger, bigger. But Marion, at 6,900 yards, which is the shortest U.S. Open venue of this century, had a winning total of plus one. And early in that week, they got a ton of rain in Marion, Bob. It was soft Thursday and Friday. If they didn't get that rain on Thursday and Friday at Marion, that plus one could have quite easily been plus four, plus five on a 6,900-yard golf course. When are these people going to figure out that it, you know, yes, length can have a factor. It can be important, but it's in the setup. You give these guys 50, 60, 70 yards to hit a golf ball off the tee. They're not scared of 500-yard par fours. They're still hitting mid-irons into these things. They're getting to some of these 600-yard-plus par fives in two. It's not about that. I can't get my head around why they can't take a look at the history of even the last 15 years and say, wow, look at what Marion did, and do we really need to be building 8,000-yard golf courses?
And, you know, the USGA be well served. Their big thing is to showcase these golf courses in different ways that might help regular golf courses, like the whole thing about this one being very environmentally friendly. But let's have one that's very short and can still be played by regular people, I guess.
Well, all I picture is you and I out there at Erin Hills for a round of golf from 6,300 behind a group of guys that can't carry the ball more than 200 yards off that back deck all day, right? Because that's what you're going to get. I mean, so
we have to have Brian Hayes in that group too, by the way.
Of course. All right, Bob, the tee is yours.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
All right, well, I think that's yours, but I don't care.
Yeah, well, now you see, now what happened was, okay, just to get you caught up to speed, I said, you know, welcome to us back to the show. It's time for 3Dub, and Bob the T is yours. And you got your Family Guy, and we played the Family Guy. And I was even going to compliment you on not jumping in early, because you normally jump in early.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then I realized you weren't there. That's why you didn't jump in early.
Well, we'll go ahead.
Okay.
All right. My winner this week is Jim Furyk, and we're talking about an 8,000-yard golf course, as we have been all morning. And yet here's a guy who averages his driving distance off the tee mark is 268 yards. And Jim Furyk has made the cut, and he is playing the weekend at even par. I can't believe that a guy who hits it that short, I mean, you hit it longer than that, Mark. And he is he's playing on the weekend, so there's lots of ways to get it around this golf course, and Jim Furyk has found it.
Well, you know what I find amazing about that, Bob, just, you know, to bring that number to our listeners of what that means, is that, you know, if he's averaging 268 off the tee, that means he's probably flying his golf ball somewhere around 250 yards. So, you know, if he's carrying it 250, there are holes here that you outlined earlier in today's show that he's sitting there going, can I get this to the fairway? Can I even make it to the short grass off the tee? You know, so, wow, that is, you're right. You know how good the rest of his game has to be here for the weekend. That is so tremendous.
Exactly. My weird is Rory McIlroy's major record. And when you look at it, it's really odd. So, of course, we know how well he's done in majors, but also he's missed the cut in three of the last five majors. In the last 12, he has two wins and five top tens along with those missed cuts. So it seems like for Rory McIlroy in a major championship, it's either feast or famine. There's no 30th place finishes or 25th place finishes. But I find it weird that he has missed the cut in three of the last five and the last two U.S. Opens for a guy who is as good and as talented as he is. There doesn't seem to be a lot of consistency in terms of how he plays in these majors.
And for me, Bob, that's the theme of his career. He's either on a hot streak or he's on a slump. I just feel like that about Rory. And then in more recent times, he's coming off injury. And, you know, you and
right.
I could do a whole hour on, you know, why he shouldn't be squatting 300-400 pounds, and I can harp on that again, and maybe he should let his body heal. But, you know, but it's true. He's either on a super hot streak where he looks like he's going to be number one in the world again and run away and hide because he's that much better than anybody else, or he's missing cuts. I agree with you. It's absolutely bizarre.
Very weird. And my what this week is, what is the line going to be between outgoing and enjoyable and childish and petulant for Jon Rahm? And I don't know if you saw him yesterday, but he had some club slams. He had some club tosses. And I love when he talks to himself and when he kind of hits himself in the head and he makes a statement outgoing, you know, oh, I can't believe I missed that. But yesterday, you know, it got a little overboard. And he was kind of throwing clubs, and he was really down on himself for some of the – I mean, he did not play very well at all. But I think there's going to be a fine line here, and John's going to have to learn exactly what that line is if he's going to be well-liked by the fans out there going forward in his career.
Yeah, there was a few moments yesterday where I kind of went, did I see that? Did he just do that again kind of thing? And, you know, sometimes – you know, Seve was hot. Sergio was hot earlier in his career. That hot Spanish blood, but you know, maybe that's a maturing process. I don't know, but I can't disagree with you at all there, Bob, for sure. All right, on the other side, we're gonna have a little Scully time. We'll get Bob Weeks' final thoughts on the U.S. Open as we head into these last 36 holes. We'll see what Scully feels of what's transpired and who he likes heading into the weekend. We'll take a look at the LPGA leaderboard where Brooke Henderson sits on top. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Zucchino in studio, Weeks on location. And now it's Scully time. Adam Scully, our producer, joining us in studio as well. Before we get to some Scully time with some thoughts and Bob's thoughts as we head into the weekend here, let's take a look at some leaderboards from around the world of golf. Of course, starting with the year's second major, the U.S. Open for Marin Hills. We've got a four-way tie atop the lead at 7-under par. Casey, Harmon, Fleetwood, and Koepka, they will head into the weekend tied at 7-under par. That is a one-shot lead over Lovemark, Fowler, Holmes, and, of course, a boatload of players chasing them just a couple shots back. It is very tight. Names like Hideki Matsuyama, Sergio Garcia, they are in the hunt here at Erin Hills. Scully, what's happening on the web.com?
Yeah, on the web.com, through the Air Capital Classic, Aaron Wise with a six-shot lead right now. He is running away with it early. Two Canadians, Albin Choi and Adam Svensson, at 5-under par, tied 27th.
And then the Meyer LPGA Classic on the LPGA Tour. Brooks Henderson, the Canadian, putting her name there. We've been waiting for Brooke, yep. And there she is. 12-under par, 63, 67. That is a two-shot lead right now. Heading into the weekend over Saganda, Younger, and of course, there she is again, Lexi Thompson. Man, is she playing
on fire
well right now. Yeah, she's playing quite well. Okay, U.S. Open, 36 holes to go. Scully, what do you think so far? What's your feeling through 36? And are you reserving judgment to the end? I know Bob and I said we're going to wait to the end before we decide whether we actually like this or not. I know he's leaning towards liking it. So am I. I'm leaning that way. Yeah. I'm wishing they got the firm, fast conditions they want. I'm upset that obviously it's going to be softer.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like a U.S. Open. You know, no. A cut of one over par. That's just so.
That's also a record.
It's
right?
It's very strange, but it's a golf course. It's fun to watch, and Weeksy. I know it sounds like it's hard to walk, but it's going to be a fascinating last 36 holes.
Weeksy, do the scoring records, does it bother you? All these low numbers, low cut, most players under par, tying the Thursday lead. Does it bother you in the U.S. Open seeing these types of scores and all these records kind of being tied or broken?
No, not at all. I mean, listen, this happens everywhere. Mm-hmm. every tournament, every golf course now these days. How many 59s have we had this year? I mean, it shouldn't happen that way in the U.S. Open, but hey, the PGA Tour says these guys are good.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, one thing, there already been 3 7-under rounds in this U.S. Open. That's the first time that's happened in U.S. Open history.
I really thought, guys, that we were going to see a 62 yesterday. I thought we were going to see a 62 yesterday. It still hasn't happened in a major. I thought it was going to come yesterday. All right, Scully, who do you like hitting there? What do you like coming into this weekend? Is there a name that pops out at you? Out of the leaders, can someone separate themselves? Or what about a chaser? Is there somebody here whose name is leaping out of that? I know Bob loves Sneds. Is certainly, if it comes down to a putting contest, it's definitely Snedeker is going to be there.
Well, on Saturday of the Masters, I chose this player to win the Masters, and he did. And that player was Sergio.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if today he makes a move as well. He's hitting it really, really solid. It's that putter as well.
And he's playing with house money, right? There's
exactly.
No pressure.
The pressure's off him. He's won that major. He's playing with Bernd Wiesberger today. They obviously know each other. So I think it's a good pairing for him. And
and he's also had the Bernd Wiesberger for breakfast as well each day. So that helps as well.
Yeah, and he's, if he keeps hitting fairways and hitting greens, the putts are going to go in. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Sergio shoot 3 or 4 under today.
Bob, I know you like Snedeker. It's hard to argue with anyone. I think Sergio's playing with house money again. I think a guy freewheeling it with no pressure is a scary guy. Only 6 players in history have won the Masters in the U.S. Open in the same year. So this is very rarefied air if he could do that. But who are you looking at? Who's popping out of the leaderboard for you?
I'll give you another name that sort of jumps out, and it's a guy who's also won a big tournament this year, and that's Siwoo Kim. Mm. And Siwoo can hit the ball a long way. He can hit driver off the deck, and he does it regularly, as we saw at the Players' Championship. And he's a guy who's full of confidence right now. We talked to him briefly through a translator, or almost through a translator yesterday. It was kind of an awkward press conference, but he feels pretty good about the way he's striking the ball. So there's another guy that you might want to consider.
That's how Mrs. Golf Talk Canada speaks to me on a Saturday night, Bob. Through a translator. Has to go through a translator. Unfortunately, that translator's Angry Mike, so everything comes out angry. Do we have a winning number, guys? Like, at the start of the week, I thought that the winning score would be very similar to what we saw at Chambers Bay. I thought something around 5-6-under par would win this.
I don't know.
That too low now with the rain coming in? I know a lot of the players, Bob, are saying, oh, you know, it's only going to get harder. With the exception of maybe you know, the late tee times on Sunday or even the back nine for those players on Sunday, I'm not so sure it's going to get harder with the moisture coming in. Could we see a 10 under par winning U.S. Open? I'll start with you, Scully. What do you like the winning number and why?
Yeah, I was going to say like 10 or even 11 because with all this moisture coming in, it's obviously going to be a softer but a longer golf course. The players are getting more and more familiar with the courses that they play it. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some low numbers today after or if the rain comes because it'll be a softer golf course. And maybe after today, the lead's at 9 and then 9 or 10 and then you get the winner at 11.
Bob, how do you feel about this? Where do you see the number settling in?
You guys have to remember Mark's favorite man, Mike Davis.
Oh.
I think once he starts seeing these numbers up on the board, these pins are going to be in the bunkers. They're going to be behind the long grass. I don't see it. I think the winning score right now is maybe 8 under par.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm kind of with Bob in a way that I think. In fact, I think maybe that you know the number, even though it might get easier, I think he'll just trick it up. That's his ammo, and we've seen this before. Yeah. But yeah, 8 under par, 7 under par, maybe 9. I don't see double digits. The other reason I don't see double digits, too, is we've seen this before. Everybody remember Dr. Gil Morgan. We've seen people get to these historic numbers before, and then the wind kicks up, the setup gets harder, and everybody goes in reverse on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And when the scoring average here, if we get 30-mile-per-hour gusts on Sunday here, the scoring average on this golf course could be like 77. So, you know, we got to keep that in mind. All right, Bob, eventual winner, give me one name.
I'm gonna go with Snez. I think he's full value for it.
Eventual winner, one name.
I'll go Ricky Fowler. He's driving the ball well, and I think it's his time.
I will also go with Ricky Fowler. I think
good minds think alike.
Right? I think he went over. I think he faced his demons yesterday.
Yeah.
I think the trend is that there's two trends going on in the world of golf. First-time winners at majors, major first-time winners, and also guys pulling the monkey off their back, right? Getting their name off that list of best in the world without a major. I don't know if there's a name on this leaderboard that jumps out more than Ricky Fowler if we're talking about right now looking at a guy going, who's the best guy out there without a major? I don't know. I don't know. You could make an argument for Snedeker in that conversation as well, though.
Not Xander Schauffele?
No. Not surprisingly, not Xander Schauffele. Now, there's somebody we hadn't talked about. We only got a couple of minutes left, Bob, but I got to know, have you seen Cameron Champ hit a driver in person yet? I hear it is absolutely insane.
It's absolutely nuts. He just hits it square in the center every single time. You know when you stand on a range and you hear a guy hit and there's a different sound? That's Cameron Champ. And Sean Foley told me, I think he said he had 198-mile-an-hour ball speed.
What?
Yeah,
198.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. He hit a drive 365 yesterday.
On Thursday, you got to remember, in a tournament that encouraged pounding it off the tee, in a tournament that had Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, and Brooks Koepka in the field, he led the driving distance category on Thursday by 26 yards.
That's insane.
The number two guy behind him was 26 yards behind him. I can't wait to see this in person, Bob. I had to ask you.
Wow.
Bob, enjoy the rest of the weekend. We'll be watching you on SportsCenter and following you on Twitter as well as, of course, on TSN.ca. And I'll see you in studio this week for our one-hour Golf Talk Canada U.S. Open wrap-up show, one-hour special. So we'll see you in a couple days. Safe travels. Don't drink the water.
Okay, sounds good. I'll stay away from the blimps, too.
There you go.
See you, Bob.
See you, Bob. Bob there going with Brant Snedeker. And, man, that is some deep drives from Champ. So you and I on the Ricky Fowler bandwagon
today. Yeah, and Bob was right with Mike Davis. I think today might be tricky. With the pins.
Like, have to
today
do something,
might be
right?
The trickiest day.
Because if he's getting the rain and they're worried about that and the greens get out, he might do something stupid. He might find every single crease and ledge on the golf course and we're going to slap the hole here.
Yeah.
Which just makes it, to me, just makes it dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, we'll see. I don't know. It's going to unfold. We got 36 to go. It's going to be fun to watch. Thanks, Skull. I'll see
you
this week for TV as well. Enjoy your U.S. Open. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Father's Day.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day, Dad. All the dads out there. My dad, Angry Mike. Happy Father's Day. Go out, play golf. Do what it is what you like to do. Get in front of the TV and watch yourself a little U.S. Open. It's one of the best father-son kind of rituals out there.
Mm-hmm.
Final day of the U.S. Open. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.